You are listening to a sermon by Pastor Hoffman of Christ Lutheran Church in Coos Bay, Oregon. In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for this 14th Sunday after Trinity is according to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Speaking of Lutherans, Sir Isaac Newton posited on his first law of motion that an object in motion will stay in motion unless an external force acts upon it, while an object at rest will remain at rest unless an unbalanced force acts upon it. Before anyone starts having any flashbacks to high school or college, understand that I only mention Newton's law of motion because, in a way, it aptly applies to our lessons appointed today in the readings. Just look at how everyone in all of the readings are in motion in these texts. Everyone is walking, moving. Notice, too, how no one is at rest or idle or sedentary. One is always in motion, either moving towards God or away from God. Whether in faith or unbelief, no one is ever sedentary. You're always moving. It just comes down to what direction you are going. The faithful walk in the Spirit, always moving in repentant thanksgiving toward God and His goodness. Conversely, those who don't walk in repentant faith and divine wisdom and thanksgiving are just as much in motion and on the go. They're just headed in the opposite direction. They walk away from God. They walk in evil. They are led by the ways of the world, walking in darkness, to use Jesus' words. Let's turn our attention specifically to the Gospel of St. Luke. Everyone is in motion. The 10 lepers are on the go. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And they go. Keep in mind, they aren't healed when he says that. They aren't healed. During their interaction with Jesus, they go in blind faith, still leprous, you'll notice. They're healed only after they are on their way. Only the one Samaritan leper, however, was interesting because he returns to Jesus praising God and falling on his face. An interesting note in this is the Samaritan praises God by falling on his face and praising Jesus. How's that for a confession of Christ? Jesus too is on the go. St. Luke tells us with the very first verse that Jesus was peruomaiing, journeying to Jerusalem. And this is important. In fact, this is the utmost importance. You see, this word cues us in the fact that Jesus isn't just simply on his way to somewhere to do something else. He is traveling with purpose. He is traveling with intent. He's purposefully journeying to Jerusalem. In fact, this is the third time St. Luke tells us that Jesus has set his face unto Jerusalem, journeying there for the express purpose of laying down his life as the all-atoning sacrifice for your sin. This threefold statement of intent lets us know that the crucifixion of Christ wasn't some tragic, terrible surprise. Jesus wasn't caught off guard on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. Rather, the cross was the plan all along. Nothing was going to stop this from happening. From chapter 951 on, Jesus is purposefully journeying towards Jerusalem in order to die for your sins. Now, as I said, everyone is in motion in this text. Everyone is journeying. We begin with Jesus' purposeful journey to Jerusalem, and we know what that's all about. He's told us. And we end with Jesus commanding the Samaritan leper, the only one who returned, incidentally, to render him thanks and praise unto God also. He tells him also to journey. I want you to think about this. When Jesus tells the Samaritan leper to rise and journey, he isn't merely reasserting that this guy should get on his way and catch up with the other nine. Nor is he telling the guy that since he's now better, he can just arise and do whatever his little heart desires. It is such a poor English translation when you just hear him say, "Rise and go your way." Like it's a Fleetwood Mac song or something. Thank you for those who got that joke. We like that translation, though, because deep down we like to believe that Jesus is perfectly fine with us just going our own way. This is not what Jesus is saying here. Rise and parumai. Rise and journey. By using this very specific word, Jesus as God's Messiah in the flesh is calling this guy to rise and journey in saving faith with him on his purposeful journey to the cross. He's calling this guy to bear witness to him as he, the heavenly high priest himself, presents himself to his God and Father as the all-atoning sacrifice for all sin for all time. Jesus is calling this man to bear witness to the Lord of life in all his journeys, in all his comings and goings, throughout the remainder of his life. But take very careful note here. Jesus never promises the Samaritan that his life will be crossless, that his life will be painless, that his life will be worry-free on this journey that he sends him on. He promises him this: salvation. This is so important for us to remember. The Christian journey in this fallen and broken world, the journey of faith, is a journey fraught with danger, despair, fear, suffering, sorrow, and pandemics. It's a journey that involves bearing crosses. No one should be surprised or shocked by this. No one should be caught off guard. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, God never promises a tiptoe through the tulips. He promises to be with you always. He promises to guide you. He promises to lead you. He promises to protect you and nourish you along the way of sorrows until that blessed day when he calls you out of this sinful rat race, calling you home to your eternal rest, calling you to recline at the heavenly side of his feast table for the rest of all of eternity. Now, I want you to think about all this movement and all this motion in your own life. It's a question we always like to ask people. How's it going? It's going. Who's ever said that to me? All of you, don't answer. I know. How's it going? It's going. You're always telling me that you're in motion. I get it. You never say, "It's going roughly." You just need me to know for some reason that you are moving. Thank you for the gravity of the situation. I want you to know, Pastor, how's it going? It is going. Remember, everyone is always in motion by your own confessions, either heading towards God and walking in his light and in his wisdom, or heading away from him, walking in sinful darkness and evil. No one is ever idle or sedentary. Examine your life, and you may as well be honest, because I have it on very good authority that God already knows. He knows what your life is like. He knows the truth. You're not going to fool him, even though it's pretty easy to fool me. But since he is the only one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, examine yourself. Do you walk in this cruciform, cross-shaped way? Always, or do you sometimes, oftentimes, a lot of times, prefer to go down your own way to God, expecting God to tag along and bless whatever your heart desires, little heart? Do you walk by faith? Do you keep moving forward in faith, even when things get difficult, scary, difficult, problematic? Or do you get going when the going gets tough? Not a bad thing. What if the narrow path of God's wisdom doesn't gratify your desires? What if the narrow path of God's wisdom doesn't make you happy? We'll let that one stew in the crock pot for a second. Is it okay to go down your own way in those instances? To follow your heart instead of the Lord? What if you're not seeing the results you want to see? You know, we journey with Christ and yet we still suffer. We still fear and worry. It's so demoralizing when you find out that being a Christian doesn't make you magically immune from suffering, sickness, fear, disease, PTSD, anything. And even death. It feels like you're just spinning your wheels and wasting your time. We journey with Christ, and all we have to show for it is a lousy cross. Don't we deserve a little better? How easy and tempting is it to stray from the path of Christ's cross-shaped wisdom? How easy is it to veer off the narrow path of Christ's peace, seeking instead our own more comfortable version of peace? Everything that John was recording in the Gospel of John is summed up in John 16. We read about it today, that he says all this stuff to us that we don't like, or we don't always understand. Is that so you may have peace? And so as we read all these things that the disciples are going, what? He's saying, I'm letting you know this so that you have peace. Not wealth, not ridiculous, giddy happiness at all times, but peace. And none of this takes into account the simple fact that we are always on the go. How's it going? It's going. We eat on the go. We talk and text and email on the go. We wouldn't think of going anywhere without our phones. We're always on the go. But where are we going? Where does all this busyness and distraction lead you? Look around. Where has it already led us? Thankfully, sometimes it leads us to God's house. And God be praised that it always leads us to him. But enough! Enough! I'm starting to rabbit trail. I could go on, and you know this. but I won't. You get the picture. We need to turn around, to change direction. But rather than put all of the focus on our sinful misdirections and motions, let us focus on the purposeful motions of our Lord and Savior for a moment. Consider again how he gave up heaven's majesty for you. Consider how he gave up paradise to come and journey on this shadowy valley of death for you. Consider the true exodus, that is, his death and resurrection. In a very real way, our Lord Christ journeyed into bondage and death to not only suffer the Father's well-earned wrath against you and your sin, he did it in your place, but to vanquish the wicked foes of sin, death, and the devil, to pick us up and carry us from death into life. Notice there's some more moving going on here. We're being moved from death to life. Consider how your God and Lord continues to come to you in motion. Consider the word you hear in your ears today. The Good Shepherd still comes to you, calling out to you, seeking you, reproving you, absolving you. He comes to you to pick you up in the midst of your sin and in darkness, to put you on his shoulders and carry you back to the wisdom, light, and life of God himself. So let's look to the font. Look to the rail. Here's the same victorious Christ. He still comes to you in order to bring you his unmerited gifts of mercy, grace, and peace. Just look at what's going on here today. You go, what? We're in church. But there's some amazing things going on. As one who comes to you, we heard it from our elder and from me. We heard the good news in the scriptures. That's why we say it. The service continues with the readings from Holy Scriptures. It's important. This is why we're gathered here together, because God's word has something indeed to say to you, something that is timeless, something that is eternal, something that our old Adams are like going, ugh. Can we just play checkers? But really, he is the one who has been taken and presented himself in your place to God the Father, and he is presented as being righteous and redeemed and holy, who continues to hold out his cruciform wounds to our Heavenly Father as proof that it is finished, and he has paid the full price for everything you have ever done wrong. Here is where he himself calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, calling us and gathering us at his side of his feast table in order to feed us and nourish us with his own life-giving word and sacrament. Do you see that motion? I'm calling you. By the Holy Spirit, you imagine a sinful person being, when we say that, when he says to hear his words and receive them, you got to remember the door is locked from the outside. The Holy Spirit is the one who unlocks the door. You don't say, oh yeah, I think I'm going to love Jesus today. Holy Spirit goes, guess what? The door is open. I opened it. That's pretty world-changing stuff right there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 23:5. The victory of Christ is the fact that he gives to you without any kind of stop. He is constantly giving. He is constantly calling. He is constantly moving. With all this in mind, How can you not want to turn and flee to him and fall on your face in reverent repentance and humble joy, thanking and praising and giving glory to God? May this Christ-centered presence give you joy and peace in believing as you continue to bear your crosses, as you journey through this veil of tears in the humility of saving faith. May God grant you patient faith and endurance to remain walking unafraid in his way of wisdom and grace until that blessed day when you too are called home to your eternal rest to recline at the heavenly side of his feast table for the rest of all eternity. Until that blessed day, though, may the good news and the real presence of the crucified and resurrected Christ guard you and keep you in the path of his righteousness and in his way of wisdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.